Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Adam McManus as well. Sidekick on this program, Adam is our daily host on theworldview.com, our Worldview in 5 minutes news update from a biblical worldview perspective. And media is important to me. Media is powerful. Media influences worldview. I do believe that media could be more influential than your average university and your average K-12 school. Why? Because media is everywhere. Medium is all the time. Media affects the way we live. You leave college, what happens? You're affected by Fox News, CBS, CNN, NBC, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out there's hardly a dime's worth of difference between Fox News and CNN. 90% of the news is liberal. 80% is Fox News. About 2-3% is Gateway Pundit, Zero Hedge, Epoch, Newsmax. Okay, so you've got 2-3% of news that might be somewhat conservative, but none of those would acknowledge themselves to be rooted in a biblical world and life view. Which means, what do you got? Well, you've got maybe Christian Post, World Magazine, and The Worldview in 5 minutes. That's it. And that's the 0.00001% of the population tuning in to a biblical worldview when it comes to media. No wonder we're losing. No wonder we're losing as Christians. We hardly have any influence anymore in terms of a distinctively biblical worldview applied to media, assuming that media is that important in constructing the zeitgeist or the basic spirit of the age, the worldview maintained by the masses. Well, Fox News, it turns out, has been outed again for its woke corporate policies. Daily Signal this time secured a copy of the company's personnel handbook. No surprise here, Adam. You read this story on theworldview.com Tuesday. The policies require adherence among its employees to transgenderism and the use of transgender pronouns. In other words, you have to agree to the religion, and it is a religion, of transgenderism. As well, the company assists transgendered employees with their, quote, workplace gender transition plans.
Oh, my.
And Fox is really proud of their perfect score on the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index. They've got the 100% on, you know, the LGBT index provided by the Human Rights Campaign. And they're proud. They tout it. That's what the employees have told the folks at Daily Signal, is that this is a big deal for Fox News. They are 100% subscribe to the LGBT Human Rights Campaign Equality Index.
Well, and for those that are not familiar, Human Rights Campaign is the number one sexual perversion activist group in America. So, I mean, it's very cleverly disguised human rights. It sounds like they're campaigning for the Sudanese Christians to stop being persecuted by the Muslims. Hardly. It's all about sexual perversion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, no surprise here. Tucker Carlson's gone as of, what, 2 weeks ago. Tucker joins the list of Fox News dismissals, including Bill O'Reilly, Dan Bongino, Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, Todd Starnes. We've just gone through the list of the folks remaining of the well-known conservative voices that have been covered by Fox News over the last 20 years. Only Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham left, as far as I can tell.
Glenn Beck really shook things up back in 2009 when he took a slot on Fox News coming from Headline News. He let people know, Roger Ailes in particular, he was not going to hold back. I don't know the whole story on why Glenn Beck left. I don't think he would have left voluntarily, to be honest. I'm sure he was pushed out. I just don't know the full scoop. Sarah Palin, the former governor of Alaska, a former vice presidential candidate under John McCain, has also gone bye-bye from Fox News. She was a regular there and much beloved. And Tucker Carlson, wow, one of the most articulate conservatives out there. He talks about being an Episcopalian in his speech that he gave right after his final broadcast, which he didn't know at the time was his final broadcast. He talked about, as an Episcopalian, even he could recognize the need for Americans to pray to God for 10 or 15 minutes a day for this country, because it has gone so woke, so far left, And he said it's one thing you can, for example, to debate whether or not you can see the legitimacy in allowing abortion if someone has been raped or they're the victim of incest or they're a teenager. He said, I'm used to that debate. I'm used to that conversation. Even Gloria Steinem made some sense in the beginning, but now it's just outright child sacrifice advocacy when the Secretary of Treasury under the Biden administration says the best thing for the economy is basically to abort your children. He said, well, you know, what policy end are we advocating here other than raw child sacrifice? And he just called every sacred cow out in that blockbuster speech that he gave at the Heritage Foundation. I think it was their 50th anniversary gala. If there is a generations listener who's not listened to that 30-minute speech, which, by the way, was totally impromptu, no notes of any kind in front of him, it was passionate, right from his heart, right from his soul. It is worth every minute of watching that. But Tucker Carlson has been dismissed from Fox News, despite the fact that he was really their number one cash cow. Advertisers clamoring to get on his show because of how many eyeballs were glued to his program. I think 100 times better than Bill O'Reilly ever was, because he took on liberals and showed how the conservative and indeed the Christian worldview trumped them every single time. I rarely remember having seen Bill O'Reilly debate a liberal. It was so refreshing to see Tucker Carlson do so. And whether he was let go because of some verbal agreement with the Dominion voting machines, some have suggested that they not only had to pay out hundreds of millions of dollars for allowing their host to suggest that there was some kind of hokey pokey going on with the 2020 presidential election tilted in Joe Biden's favor with the voting machines electronically, but there was supposedly a verbal non-written agreement that Tucker Carlson had to go, and that was part of the deal. Of course, both sides deny it. Fox News denies it. Dominion voting machines, people deny it, but it's an interesting theory nonetheless.
All right, so you got Tucker Carlson on ice, Bill O'Reilly's gone, Glenn Beck's gone, Todd Starnes gone. Now you've got Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham. Sean and Laura and they don't quite have the chutzpah or the consistent conservative principles of a Tucker Carlson.
They don't.
You agree with that?
Laura Ingraham, I do. I think Laura Ingraham's a strong conservative. She's Catholic, as is Sean Hannity, by the way, religiously speaking. Laura Ingraham, for some reason, never did get married, although she adopted several children, which is kind of an unusual thing to do for a single woman. I mean, you would want a man in the home, ideally, a husband, a father for those children. Sean Hannity has divorced his longtime wife as of 2019. They had separated years prior. Interestingly, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Ainsley Earhart, who came right from San Antonio, from, I believe, our Ken's TV5 CBS affiliate in San Antonio, up to Fox and Friends, they have presumably been dating for some time. They were seen together, Sean Hannity and Ainsley Earhart, arriving together as guests for a wedding at Trump National Golf Course in New Jersey. And then during the COVID pandemic, Ainsley Earhart was hosting her Fox and Friends program from a remote studio in the basement of Sean Hannity's Long Island mansion, which is odd, honestly. I mean, Fox News has all kinds of studios available, but there it is. So they have not gotten married yet, but they are reportedly dating. And, you know, the question is, did they both divorce their spouse because of an affair? I don't know the answer to that question, but...
Well, whatever the case, what you see, I think, is a lack of integrity and a lack of any kind of solidity or consistency about their positions. And that applies as much to their ideology and their handling of the issues as it does to their personal lives. There is a flimsiness about Fox News. There is a flimsiness about the life and the ideology of many of these quote unquote conservatives. And there comes a point at which the facades come off and people begin to realize that we have a bunch of fake conservatives here. Now, you know, there may be a degree to which there is some consistency to principle, But it seems to me that there's a fairly high degree of inconsistency or lack of integrity about Fox News and so many that refer to themselves as Christians or conservatives. These conservatives like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Donald Trump, even Ronald Reagan, divorcees. I mean, let's just say it. They're divorcees. And there's a sense in which you go, well, you know what? There is a lack of integrity, personal consistency to the principles in private and public life. And I think, you know, at points we just need to step back and be honest about this. So let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more on conservativism versus biblical principle. That next on Generation. Stay with us.
Hey friends, you've heard me say for months now that the Colorado Father-Son Retreat is filling up. Some of you are still on the fence on this. Maybe you're thinking the summer is a long way away, but hear me again. Both weekends are filling up right now, so don't miss out. Join me, Kevin Swanson, and hundreds of other dads and sons at the Colorado Father-Son Retreat. Here's what Randy, one of the dads from last year's retreat, is saying. This is an experience your son will remember for the rest of his life. Take the time, dads, get away. Be present in your son's life. You know, I agree with Randy. Take the time to be present in your son's life. Summer will be upon us in no time. Invest in your relationship with your son this summer by attending the Colorado Father-Son Retreat in the Colorado Rockies. With games, archery, zip line, worship, interesting upbuilding messages, great food, and dedicated time with your son, can you think of anything that would be more valuable to do this summer? Hey guys, go to ColoradoFatherSon.com right now and register today before it's too late. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com.
And we're back on Generations. Kevin Swanson with you. And the points at which we need to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, the people on our team are not as consistent to the biblical values, the unchangeable principles of God's Word. And they tend to be just conservatives. I want to define the word conservatism in just a moment. Actually, I don't think I've ever done that. I've got the dictionary definition and put it out in front of everybody. But we talk about conservatives, but we do get a sense of flimsiness, even to the point that, you know, Sean Hannity, is he on our side or not? Maybe. Yeah, I think kind of, sort of.
I think Sean Hannity's on our side. I guess I would say he's a Republican first. And a Catholic second is what I have concluded after watching him and listening to him over the years. Every time I tune in, whether it's his radio show or TV show, he seems to be kind of going through this list of Republican talking points. And while they're helpful and a nice springboard for conversation, it's not the be-all and end-all. To me, the be-all and end-all is, but what is truth? Sometimes what the Republicans put out as the talking points is not about the truth. It's about just making the Democrats look bad. And honestly, the Democrats do a fine job of on their own of making themselves look bad, mm-hmm. because they've right. championed pretty much satanic, evil, God-hating, child sacrifice, pro-sexual perversion policies. But I want someone who, like Tucker Carlson, and I think this is why so many people were drawn to him, who's kind of above the fray in a way and won't hesitate to call out Republicans when they're wrong.
And to his credit, he has not divorced. I mean, he's been faithfully married to his wife for these many years, is my understanding.
That's right. Has four children. I think been married since 1991. And he has a real commitment to stability in his family life. He got away from the rat race of being in Washington, D.C. I think he's either broadcast from Maine out of a barn. You would never know this from looking at the set because it's so beautifully green screened behind him, or in Florida. The other most interesting thing about it, not only is he away from all the crazies because people were coming to his personal residence and picketing and protesting, and it was becoming obviously intrusive with his family. But here's a man who dominated television and yet himself never owned a television. His father said growing up, hey, y'all need to read books. Our friends, Johnny and Sue, are watching, you know, whatever the big shows were at the time when he was growing up. No, no, we're reading books in this family. Read books. And so Tucker Carlson embraced that and adopted that into the next generation when he got married and he had children, four of them. He doesn't have a television, and I have seen him in conversations on podcasts with folks whose jaw basically hits the floor. They cannot believe it. They say, no, seriously, you have a TV, but you just never watch much of it. No, I don't even have a TV. It's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time I was watching television. We watch a video from time to time. But Fox News, a sham conservative organization. That's what it's looking like, friends. 100% rating on the human rights, whatever, LGBT study. There comes a point at which the facades come down and people begin to realize, you know what, these are fakes. And it's interesting, friends, that's occasionally what you get is a trajectory in a better direction. And that's what you think happened with Rush Limbaugh.
It is. He was married ultimately three times. I know someone personally who met with him, who talked to him at length, and can verify that he came to Christ late in life, primarily through the influence of his very strong and outspoken Christian brother, David Limbaugh, a man that I have had the pleasure of interviewing at least twice about two of his different books that have been out. David Limbaugh is an unashamed evangelical, Bible-believing Christian like you and I, respects the Word of God for what it is, the Word of God, and recognizes that it is the plumb line for all of life and practice. Rush Limbaugh came to faith late, didn't talk about it demonstrably a whole lot on his radio show, although after his cancer diagnosis, knowing as serious as it was, and he had limited time on planet Earth, if you listen to his show, he talked about his faith. He talked about the importance of prayer. He talked about reading the Bible. And this gentleman that met with him personally gave him a Bible and had inscribed it and encouraged him on in his kind of baby faith, as it were. So I guess my point is that, yes, divorce is sinful. Yes, it's wrong. Sometimes people are divorced against their will. I would say that's the first thing. And number two, in this case, we're talking about, are the conservative standard bearers themselves people of integrity? I think Rush Limbaugh, toward the end of his life, really rose to the occasion and became the very man of integrity we always wanted him to be, but he hadn't been yet because he found faith in Christ. I mean, when someone is lost as a billy goat and they don't know any different, but they know part of the capital T truth, but not the person of truth, Jesus Christ, as John 14:6 articulates, then, you know, at least he saw through the glass darkly, but then he saw more clearly who the truth was and where his conservative principles truly came from.
And Ronald Reagan's divorce appears he was the innocent party. That's my guess, at least in, you know, reviewing what happened. He was the first president of the United States who had been divorced. But in the case of Donald Trump, of course, he had many, many troubles. The question is, of course, will these men or have these men set a new trajectory? And do they now fear God? Does Donald Trump fear God? Has he humbled himself and acknowledged that he is a sinner and he needs a savior in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's not what he was saying in 2016. I hope that's what he's saying today. Ronald Reagan was a big government guy, a debt spender, doubling and tripling the deficits per GDP over Jimmy Carter and Richard Nixon, despite the fact he would say government's not the solution, but the problem. Government is the problem. Government does not solve problems. It subsidizes them. The problem is not that people are taxed too little. The problem is that government spends too much. And yet he spent too much. He spent more than the previous presidents, according to the deficit per GDP. Reagan was the first to bring abortion to America when he was governor of California in 1967, along with the governor of Colorado, also was a Republican. Reagan was the first to bring convenience divorce to America when he was governor of California. Also, Reagan appointed pro-abortion Sandra Day O'Connor to the U.S. Supreme Court to replace another pro-abort Potter Stewart. Ronald Reagan appointed Scalia to take the pro-life Rehnquist seat as Rehnquist was elevated to Chief Justice. And Ronald Reagan appointed pro-abort Kennedy to replace pro-abort Lewis Powell.
winding up with two pro-aborts and one pro-lifer out of Ronald Reagan's appointment to the Supreme Court, and that would have been back in the 1980s. Donald Trump was the biggest spender in all of American history, outspent every president before him on the average deficit to GDP ratio. And now, of course, Biden is sounds like he's doing even better work than Donald Trump with an even larger average deficit to GDP ratio over his 4 years. But we get Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett as Supreme Court appointees. Big test now is what Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett will do with the kill pill. We'll see how that works. But the question, of course, for us is what's going on with American conservatives and what happens with Fox News or the Republicans in general? I think too often American Christians conservatives are superficial. They vote for fake conservatives because they are fake conservatives. They'll act like they're traditionalists with a few traditional cliches like God bless America. I'm pro family values. We're for limited government. Limited to what? Well, we're not going to tell you what we're limiting it to. We're just for limited government. Make America great again, etc. Fake conservatives will oppose drag queens for six-year-olds, but they're okay with kinky pornography for 26-year-olds and William Shakespeare's homosexual sonnets. So you run into, you know, these folks that they're just like, okay, it's too much to go for the drag queens for six-year-olds. But you know what? We're just going to allow for any kind of pornography. Who cares? And William Shakespeare's homosexual sonnets. Well, that just happens. The definition of a conservative is a political philosophy based on tradition and social stability, stressing established institutions and preferring gradual development to abrupt change. So the conservatives will just put up with a gradual development into an anti-Christian society. The conservative standard doesn't exist in the sense that tradition and history prove some basis for stability, but it doesn't give us a standard for that which is good and right. In other words, they're not grounding their ethical perspectives in God's law as communicated to us in the Old and New Testaments. That to me is the core issue. But what I really want to do before we're done, Adam, is I just want to apply this to us, to our personal lives. Conservatism is deadly in the Christian life. And let me give you an example for this. Let's say that somebody gets into pornography. Now, typically that happens slowly. You know, one compromise after another, perhaps R-rated movies down to X-rated stuff and then on to addiction. But now that's how people get into pornography. Now, if you're going to get out of it, okay, if you're going to repent of it, and I think this applies just as much to abortion, you know, other issues, other public policy issues. But if you're going to repent of a porn habit, you just can't stop your porn habit on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You just haven't cut it off. There has to be more of an aggressive cutting off of that which is wrong. Now, it's interesting about, you know, just liberalism, progressivism, and even conservatism. There's a sense in which you can sort of, what was it that the Chief Justice nominee would say, Bork, he would say, you kind of drag
slouching,
yourself into
slouching
Gomorrah.
Toward Gomorrah was the name of
slouching
his book.
Slouching into Gomorrah, that's it. Slouching into Gomorrah, like you kind of slouch into Gomorrah, okay? But that's not how to repent. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, that's an aggressive, that's a principled, that's a radical shift away from that which is evil and that which is wrong. Same thing applies for abortion as I see it. You could say, well, we're only going to kill kids on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We're only going to kill kids who are, you know, 2 years old and under. You know, we're going to stop the whole killing of kids from 2 to 18 years of age. We're going to stop the killing of kids from 2 years old and under. There's a point at which you're just going to have to cut it off and do it according to principle. And that's my point. And I think that applies as much, if not more, to your personal life as it does to public policy.
Well, I want to speak to Ronald Reagan on the abortion thing, the abortion question. In 1988, at the March for Life rally, just to look at the very end of his 8-year presidential time. He said, our opponents tell us not to interfere with abortion. They tell us not to impose our morality on those who wish to allow or participate in the taking of the life of infants before birth. Yet no one calls it imposing morality to prohibit the taking of life after a child is born. We're told about a woman's right to control her own body, but does not that unborn child have a higher right, and that is to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Now, you rightly point out that while he was governor, he indeed signed a very pro-abortion act. It was called the Therapeutic Abortion Act in May of 1967. It was supposed to reduce the number of backroom abortions performed in California. It was, as you said, it was a very liberal abortion law, one of the most liberal in the country at the time, allowing for abortions if the mother was in physical or mental distress as a result, or if the pregnancy was a product of rape or incest. But what is, I think, somewhat revealing is that even when he was president, he never, although he said he was opposed to abortion, he never introduced legislation to Congress regarding abortion. And we did get Sandra Day O'Connor, who ultimately upheld Roe v. Wade in the 1992 case over restrictive abortion laws in Pennsylvania. So while his language evolved proactively, he did not lead in a way that was substantial. And when he had a chance to appoint a pro-lifer to the Supreme Court, he failed us.
Yeah, it was a 2-1 pro-abort versus pro-life on the Supreme Court. And so I think what we're learning is that we've got to act on this, got to be radical, which is something that conservatives aren't good at. And my point is there has to be something of a radical approach when it comes to restoring, repenting, renewing, and getting rid of that, you know, evil principle that is so dominant in our society or in our own personal lives. Here's one more point I want to throw in before we're done. You can't set your standards by popular opinion. I think politicians, especially conservatives, are often afraid about risking their reputation and taking a position that might not be agreeable with popular opinion. For example, let me give you an example of this. Between 70 and 80% of Americans today support homosexual mirage, but only 20% are big on drag queens for six-year-olds. Okay, so you get me on that? I mean, you know, 80% of Americans support homosexual mirage. 20% are big on drag queens for six-year-olds. So wonderfully brave conservative websites like Fox News is going to be really big on opposing drag queens for six-year-olds. But why? Well, because only 20% of Americans are really big on that. You know, so in other words, they just don't have the guts to stand up and say, you know what? This is principle. It doesn't matter what public opinion says. We're going to take this position. Now, it's very interesting that Fox News only gets 6-8% of the American public tuning in anyway. So, you know, they're not getting anywhere near the 80%. So, but still, it just indicates that there's a wimpiness about Fox News, and there tends to be a wimpiness about conservatives who are rather hesitant to take the position of the minority to say, you know what, I don't care if 70-80% of Americans support homosexual mirage, we're against it. This is what Jesus said in John 12:42. Many even among the leaders believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise from God. And I think that's it. I think that really gets down to it. And in the end, the issue is the standard for ethics. Conservatives, liberals alike, often look to man to determine what is right and wrong, including man's tradition. Conservatives and liberals look to man to determine their ethics, to determine what is good for man. Typically, this, of course, will be a forever changing ethic according to the whims of popular opinion, according to the whims of human tradition, according to the whims of the demonic zeitgeist, the whims of the media, or the whims of the political state. And for that reason, conservatives are not going to make much difference. They will not be the solution for the country. I believe the solution for the country is to come back to biblical principle. And that's what matters most. And friends, I'm going to end it right there. I'd encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, which gets into a biblical approach to the civil magistrate, a biblical approach to these matters. We absolutely must use biblical ethics. A biblical principled approach
if we're going to make anything of a difference for the nation, at least as far as media is concerned, as far as the political state is concerned. Get a copy of The Story of Freedom at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.